A Cry Answered. A Pacific Rim Story. Written by Imperfect Circle and featuring the voices of Bitter Lotus as Mako Mori, Such Heights as Stacker Pentecost, Calicuria as Fuyumi Yoshida, and Katie Hart as additional voices. Editing by Calicuria. This story is rated for general audiences, but does contain warnings for grief and mourning. Month 1. Stacker Pentecost.
Stacker is waiting for the anger to hit him. He's seen it happen too often to think he will be safe. He will get angry, he will hate himself for it, and then, finally, he will move on. Grief like this isn't a tool, it's a cage. He can't use it until he's ready. He can't be ready until he's angry. And he can't be angry when he's already half dead. It takes all his energy to pilot himself through the day. There's none left to rage against things that can't be changed. He waits for it in PT, squatting with his back against a wall and a rubber ball clenched between his knees, counting breaths. 8, 9, 10, and he stands up, sciatic nerves screaming all down one leg, loud but distant, like dulled sounds after a bomb blast. He waits for it in the mess, sits with the other rangers and eats his food like a good boy, and waits for the moment to come. Boardman took 2 weeks to crack. Then one day in the mess she broke Powell's nose with her tray. All the trauma risk management initiatives in the world couldn't stop her brother being dead. He waits for it in therapy, testing himself, wanting to hate his therapist's calm, steady voice and calm, steady face, wanting to call bullshit on the whole thing. He feels a flicker of something when his therapist says, "That's tricky," for the 12th time that session. He wants to share the joke with Cal, but no, he can't. She's dead. But even that can't break through the armor of his grief. Cal was the one who pushed them forward. The perfect Jaeger partnerships aren't just compatible, they're balanced. Cal knew when to move forward, and Stacker knew when to wait, and the two of them together knew what to do. She would have been angry by now. She would have been so fucking angry by now. Stacker is so busy waiting he can't breathe for it. He wakes up from the nightmares, from Cal's last moments, trapped and bleeding out, watching herself die through his eyes, and he gasps in a first breath. But even with the air in his lungs, he still can't breathe. He's waiting for it in the mess 18 days after Tokyo. Boardman and Powell are stealing each other's food and betting on the new recruits. The lights above the east entrance have been fixed 23 days after Cal requisitioned the bulbs, and Boardman is saying something about the public shelters. Stacker tries not to listen.
I heard they found her grandfather. He wouldn't take her.
Sympathy is mixed with smugness at knowing something Powell doesn't.
Bullshit.
Powell decides.
No way is Stacker's photogenic little survivor going into one of those homes.
Stacker puts his fork down carefully. The official line is that those homes are only for children whose relatives can't be traced after a kaiju attack. The truth is not all families want to deal with a child who came so close to a monster and survived.
Seriously.
Boardman says, swapping her mystery meat for some more of Powell's coke.
The Mori girl is going straight from hospital to a kid's home.
And then, there it is. 18 days after Tokyo, the anger finally hits him.
Month 2. Fuyumi Yoshida. Fuyumi can read between the lines of Mako's file. The justification for having Mako on the base is paper thin. Strings have been pulled and favors have been bartered, and somewhere along the line, someone decided Fuyumi was the perfect combination of talent and expendability to be brought into this mess. It's only slightly closer to a compliment than an insult, the balance tipped by the child at the center of this, 9 years old and heartbreakingly brave.
Good morning, Dr. Yoshida.
One of the guards greets her in English. He's courteous to a fault, but he still has to see her ID. Good morning, Ranger. She replies, pass in one hand, fingers of the other ready to place in the scanner. There are three different checkpoints between Fuyumi's quarters and Makomori. This is the only one where they greet her by name. Inside, Mako is drawing, a frown of intense concentration creasing her face. She sits on the floor surrounded by a rainbow of crayons. She draws in black and gray. "Good morning, Mako." Fuyumi gives Mako time to get used to her presence before stepping forward. Today, Mako barely flinches at all. "May I see your drawing?" Mako passes the drawing over. It's Jaeger. "This is very good." Fuyumi sits down on the floor, outside Mako's protective bubble of crayons. "I like the lasers. Very practical. What's its name?"
"Red Fury."
Yesterday, Mako drew Flying Death and Doom Breather. The day before, she drew Hell Gift. There are 17 Jaegers stuck to the wall of her bedroom, and when she's put the finishing touches to Red Fury, there will be 18. That makes 36 words Mako has said to Fuyumi since she took on this case. She gives the picture back to Mako. "You let me know when you've finished Red Fury, and then we can put it up on the wall." Mako adds some gray to Red Fury's lasers. Fuyumi would have gone with red, herself, but that's 9-year-olds for you. No sense of style. They pass the day drawing side by side. Red Fury goes up on Mako's wall at midday, and by dinner time, she's nearly finished Nightblaze. She also adds a sword to Fuyumi's Jaeger, but declines to name it. At the end of the day, the same ranger is still on duty at the first checkpoint out.
"Good evening, Dr. Yoshida."
"Good evening, Ranger," she says. Maybe she'll call her Jaeger Sunshine Kitten, to match the golden hue of its machine gun. Month 3. Stacker Pentecost.
None of the new intake can fight for shit, and Stacker wouldn't care, but someone needs to kill the Kaiju now he's grounded. Boardman gave him 50-1 odds on the Chen sisters making it through basic. When they open their mouths, they're pure East London. If they go home now, he'll be down a month's potato rations and the only two people left on base whose swearing sounds like home. He has them with him on the checkpoint for the Mori girl today.